So I like to practice, so here we go, I'm going to practice. How does free energy come about? Well, it's slightly complicated, and you have to assume certain things. You have to go along with my line of reasoning every step of the way, or else it's not going to work. And every step has to be taken, or else you won't get to the goal. So, one of the things that I might as well give you a heads up is that current is a fiction. It's a pattern that we recognize, you know, a ripple current, but it's really a change in voltage going up and down in amplitude, much like people doing the wave, stand up and sit down, and it creates a ripple that runs across the stadium, but nobody's running across the stadium, they're just standing up and sitting down in a pattern. So we see the pattern move and we assume that it's current. Now, like a mosh pit, if something should fall into those people as the ripple is moving around, it can get moved. And that's how a camshaft or a cam mechanism works in our automobiles. The reciprocating motion of our pistons gets converted into rotary motion of the transmission line. And that's because energy is being converted from one format into another, and so it manages to get transformed at the same time. But that's what happens in a wire. When the voltages go up and down in amplitude in the form of a pattern, a ripple pattern, and the magnetic field is able to move an object, such as another magnet, outside the coil, this electromagnet, such as a permanent magnet, it moves the permanent magnet in a DC permanent magnet motor so that you can get movement of the electric motor. But that's because you're converting energy from one format into another. There is no current in the wire. This is a fiction. It's a mathematical shorthand to make everybody's life easier and a little bit more obtuse and mysterious, so that the physicists can take over and tell us what to do and what to believe. But in actuality, there are two voltages. One is applied voltage that is real and is capable of undergoing voltage drop calculation, but the other voltage is not real, it's imaginary, and requires electrical reactance formula to figure out what it might be in all likelihood, because we'll never know because we can't measure it. We can derive it, but we have to derive it mathematically, knowing phase angles and whatnot, and there's no way to actually measure it as an entity. Now, it's important to understand also that a piece of wire, as an example, undergoes, when it's electrified, it undergoes inductive reactance and capacitive reactance due to the length of the wire and the insulation, respectively speaking. So, in all cases, it's never simple voltage drop. Even a flashlight circuit has electrical reactance taking place to one degree or another in proportion as a proportionality with respect to or in ratio to the real voltage that's taking place. So the voltage that comes out is not the same voltage that goes in. And this is significant because we oftentimes tell ourselves that energy in has to equal energy out. You know, you have to figure everything out. And, you know, what's the load? And how much, what is your loss is going to be? And then your source has to supply that much voltage. But that's a voltage-oriented system that never pays attention to preserving the magnetic field, making use of ferromagnetism, diamagnetism, and the knowledge of paramagnetism in a coordinated fashion so that we can get either 100% efficiency or greater. But we never think about that. We just have a copper-based system and we pay through the nose. And we run a privileged society based on waste. It's a privilege to waste. Isn't that nice? Can't share, right? You got to keep all the wasteful behavior patterns to ourselves and protect it. Protect that way of life with our military, keeping all this privileged life to ourselves. Anyway, so let's see. So current is a fiction, and only voltage is, you know, applied voltage is the real voltage, and then there's the reactive voltage, and those two voltages times each other, and then their product divided by various impedances within a framework of time gives us watts. But it's the voltage and the impedances that gives us watts, not current, because current doesn't exist. It's a shorthand mathematical notation to replace reactive voltage divided by impedance within a framework of time. We don't want to say all that, so we just say current. But because of the translation of one energy format to another format, it looks like current is moving in the wire, because how else did we move the permanent magnet outside the coil of wire? Well, because of the translation of energy, thermodynamics, but not because of current. Current does not exist. So thermodynamics is involved, but not current. So we have this physics idea that, I don't want to repeat myself. There was another item I forgot. Well, maybe I'll remember it. Okay, so there's no such thing as current. Well, now that we know there's no such thing as current, we can do something that normally we're told we can't do. We can reverse current, because all we're dealing with is reactive voltage. And if we can get reactive voltage to dominate the circuit and real voltage to continue to diminish to an insignificant amount, and, well, it has to start out insignificant, but continue to be even less significant, then we can get reactive voltage to invert its polarity and make it look like current has reversed its polarity, and it's causing the voltage differences to become more extremely different instead of equalizing, a reversal of current, literally gravity flowing upwards away from the Earth because it wants to very badly. So how we do this is we have to feed the circuit nanowatts or picowatts of power. In other words, the voltage sine wave from the source, or the DC voltage, has to be like a microvolt, or if we're using a current source, or if we're using current division or voltage division, because our voltage is too high, you know, like 3 volts, we want to reduce it, or maybe we just want to reduce the current and not care about the voltage, so that the overall wattage is brought down to either nanowatts or picowatts, then we can use, you know, current division or voltage division. Whatever we do, we got to get the power down, way down, so that all we're sending into the circuit is a signal. A signal devoid of any energy worth talking about, because it's not going to power the circuit. It's only meant to stimulate electrical reactance. And if we don't have voltage as a source of regulation, and okay, now I have to do another segue. People who run the utility grid, man the computer consoles and the monitors, they want to make sure that you don't get a surge over here and you don't get a blackout or a brownout over there, because they might have transformers blow up and catch fire, or customers will lose power, all because they didn't keep it balanced demographically, the load versus the supply. And so that kind of setup encourages this physics ideology that, oh, there's no such thing as a free lunch, and so you have to compute the loads requirements and add a little bit for losses, or a lot for losses, as the case may be, and that's how much voltage you have to supply to the system, based on a copper-based system that has no use of iron or aluminum to deal with all 3 types of magnetism, not just the reactive type, or what a century ago was called the active type, namely diamagnetism. So when we have a system set up like that, it's a foregone conclusion that voltage is going to suppress electrical reactance to a large degree. And it doesn't take much to suppress free energy version of electrical reactance, in which current inverts by 180 degrees its direction relative to the voltage polarity. So we have to keep the voltage way down, or the current, or both. Just the watts has to be way, way down. And believe that we can get free energy. We can get a free lunch. Now, we don't get a totally free lunch. We do have to supply some energy. And it's like Play-Doh. With that modicum of energy, that scant amount of energy that we're putting into the circuit, we can get unlimited amounts, any amount we want. So it doesn't really matter how much we give it, just so long as we give it less than what would be required to suppress overreactants from occurring. So the other thing we have to do is we have to construct our circuit in such a way that we discourage the flow of current. And this is going to favor the amassing of voltage, kind of like a modern-day Tesla coil, not the kind that Tesla built, but the kind that we think he built. We just call them Tesla coils. You know, they arc, huge arcs. Well, they just build up a mass of voltage. And there's some current there. It's kind of dangerous, but it's mostly voltage, excessively, too. Well, that's what we want to do in a free energy circuit, because we can convert it with various losses of inefficiencies later on to increase the current to match the voltage if we want to, the units of volts versus the units of amps. So that's not a problem. But initially, that's all we're going to create is lots of reactionary voltage that is going to be opposed to the current by 180 degrees, this fiction known as current. I have to go back to using the term because that's what we're used to saying. So I have to go back. After I explained it out of existence, I have to go back to using it. So we create a circuit. See, normally a circuit, the ripple that we see, that's a fiction, it's a pattern, goes around the circumference of a circuit or a sub-circuit of a circuit and creates this sensibility or this appearance of a rotation of the magnetic field that surrounds that loop of copper wire, let's say, in a sub-circuit. But that's not what we want. We want it to oscillate, all right, but we don't want it to oscillate as a ripple going around the circumference of a loop of wire. We want it to oscillate like breathing. You know, you exhale into a balloon, and the balloon blows up. And then you suck some of the air back, and the balloon shrinks. And you do that back and forth, and the balloon oscillates. In every half cycle, it's expanding, and then the following subsequent half cycle, it's contracting. And then it expands, and then it contracts back and forth. And that's what we want to create in the circuit, in a loop of wire. We want that to occur. And so the way to do that is we don't connect both terminals of our voltage source to a sub-circuit. We only connect one. The other one goes to ground. And we can't afford to put any other ground on that sub-circuit or the rest of the sub-circuits connected to it in the entire circuit unless we know what we're doing. Because we don't want current to flow. We don't want to encourage the flow of current. We simply want to tickle this because we're not going to give it a whole lot of power anyway. We're going to be restricting the current or restricting the voltage or both in the vicinity of nanowatts or picowatts. So why would we want current? We might as well throw away the pathway of current since we're pretty much not giving it any current to speak of. And that's what the second thing we have to do. We have to be, you know, holistic about this. We can't just do this in a half-ass way. We have to go all the way. So if we think current is a fiction and all there is voltage and impedance in a framework of time, two types of voltages, then that's the belief we have to run with and keep current out of the picture. So we don't feed it a whole lot of current to speak of, and we don't allow an exit point for the voltage that we apply to encourage the flow of current, namely this pattern that looks like current. We don't want to encourage it. So we create a circuit that has only one opening. And we pump the voltage in there, our microvolts or whatever it is, and we stimulate the circuit to oscillate in the sense that it's breathing. It's inhaling and exhaling. Because if we put inductors and capacitors in that circuit, we can feed it a DC microvolt, and it'll start, if we construct it correctly, it'll expand and contract inside itself, but not in a circulatory fashion, instead in a breathing fashion. And this is the prana that has been left out of yoga for thousands of years. We have forgotten the fifth quality of prana. We know about udana and apana, and Vijnana and Samana, but we don't know about Soma. Soma is the missing quality of prana, the five qualities of prana. It has to do with breath, the inhalation and exhalation. And this is the kind of reactive power that creates free energy. And this is what we're focusing on. So we have this huge block in our awareness that even is in the field of yoga and meditation. Even there, they don't know about free energy. Well, they know about it in terms of the cities, but they don't know about it in terms of electrical engineering, how to describe it, because they don't even know how to describe prana. Okay? So this is really a human collective ignorance that is pervasive across the planet. And we're slowly waking up, or else I wouldn't wake up to this. So eventually people will come into an awareness of this kind of thing, but it's going to take time. Probably won't happen in my lifetime. I'll probably be long dead after, and then it'll get rediscovered, and I'll be forgotten, and then, oh, we figured this out all on our own. And of course, no help from me, right? So, let's see, where were we? Where was I? So we want the circuit to inhale and exhale. We don't want it to circulate. Now, circulation is Vijnana, that quality of prana that has to do with circulation, and that's what we call current. But we don't want it to do that. We want it to inhale and exhale, and that's Soma. That's where the free energy originates, from Soma, from inhaling and exhaling. We get the circuit to do that in an oscillating manner, either because we feed it a sine wave microvolt, or because we feed it a DC voltage of a microvolt or a microamp. But we have enough capacitors and inductors arranged in such a way that it starts to oscillate within itself, simply because it's been stimulated to do so, and it's doing this purely reactionary, not due to voltage drop. And because it's totally reactionary, the real power does not suppress the self-feeding nature of this type of reactance. In other words, every oscillation that takes place, it's going to feed back into the next oscillation. It might even be a half oscillation, I'm not quite sure. But in any case, whether it's an oscillation, a half oscillation, or a quarter oscillation, that'll count as one iteration of electrical reactance formula, namely capacitive reactance and inductive reactance. And that thing will grow at an exponential rate, and at various points, it's going to be erratic in growing even faster. It won't be a smooth growth. It'll grow, it could explode its rate of growth at various points and crescendo. I've seen it change from a hyperbolic growth rate into a vertical growth rate. So it's not just exponential. There's extra factors involved that can actually speed up the increase of voltage. But once we get all that happening, we can transfer it magnetically to a closed loop where the load is located. So the load will loop back on itself, and we put a resistor in there. Let's say it's an inductive load, and the resistor will determine the ratio of amps to volts, the units of each. I like to use 1.67 ohm resistor, and that creates a relationship that the RAV4 EV from 2002, that era, the first generation electric car, the motor requires that balance between amps and volts, namely somewhere around 350 volts versus 200 amps. And that's why I tend to use that, and I learned how to use that so that I can get some amperage that's worthwhile, not just a bunch of volts. But it's a closed loop. The load feeds on itself. It goes nowhere else except magnetically coupled to the power source. So you also start to learn to use lots of magnetically coupling. Don Smith used a lot of that. And it actually works. When you have multiple coils coupled to each other, you actually create more than mutual inductances. You also create mutual capacitances. And this starts to become a very efficient way to create free energy. So you don't just work with capacitors and coils like Eric Dollard said it might be possible to do. He never actually did it. He just surmised that it might be possible after he worked with a synchronous generator and fed reverse current back into the Richmond utility grid and tripped all their relays because they got a whole lot more power than that was originally there. But it becomes much more efficient if you design a free energy circuit that makes use of mutual capacitances and mutual inductances along with your self-capacitances and self-inductances. It becomes very efficient, and it runs like a kitten. It just purrs. Anyway, so that's my little rundown on free energy. I hope I covered all the main points. I didn't really want to talk. I felt very comfortable not talking. But, you know, I have this urge, you know. I just got to express myself, you know. I just got to do this. So I talk about it, hoping I can educate people. Because, you know, practice makes perfect. And when it's a new idea, you can't hear it repeated often enough to get through people's self or, you know, thick coconuts of a brain, because they've been conditioned to believe that free energy does not exist and that it violates physics, yada, yada, yada. And that's a bunch of hooey, because physics, you know, I broke a law, supposedly, just to give you an example, and I'll shut up. I broke a law, supposedly, and I was given 6 counts of violations, all of them misdemeanors, but still, 6 of them. Originally, 2 of them had to be replaced because they were the wrong ones. So I had 8 altogether, 2 that were replaced, making 8 total. And the city attorney of the city in which I lived, or was associated, this trial was associated with, complained to my lawyer, but he broke the law. I mean, but he can't get away with that. It's not right. But, and then my attorney said, but if he didn't break any law, then what has it got to do with right or wrong, you know? And the reason why I didn't break any law was because I was outside of everybody's jurisdiction. I was within the domain of unincorporated land, conservancy land, you know, land that is set aside to conserve the habitat. I was not part of any county, not part of any city, I was just within the state, and the state couldn't care less what I did because they knew I didn't do anything wrong. But the county, the city in particular, couldn't find fault, and they had to be dismissed, called a demurrer, because I was outside of everybody's jurisdiction. Well, if you're getting your free energy from the conversion of electrical reactants that you can pass through a resistor, a resistive heating element, to boil water and rotate a steam turbine and generate electric power, and do away with all nuclear power plants and the plutonium they create, or if you're dealing with an inductive load in an electric motor, rewind your coils to be paired windings, and each pair of windings is parallel connected at both terminals, all 4 terminals of the 2 pieces of wire that make up the 2 coils. They're counterwound from to each other, and so they create a closed loop, but they're counterwound, and then 2 opposite ends of their lengths of looped double windings is connected, of course, to your, to itself, actually, or a resistor, I should say. But because they're counterwound, the current of one coil is going to combine with the voltage of the other and vice versa. So even though it's 180 degrees apart, it won't be an issue because they'll match up. The field of amperage of one coil will mate up with the field of voltage of the other and vice versa, and you'll get watts out of it. So there are different ways of converting this. And once you convert it, then you've got yourself power. So who cares if it's electrical reactants that's useless energy when you can convert it, and all of the electrical engineers know about this. So they lie when they say it's useless. If free energy is electrical reactants, that it's useless. They're lying. Of course it's useful once you convert it. So there's no reason for it to come under the domain of conservation of energy and thermodynamics, because it's electrical reactants. It's not energy. It's imaginary. It doesn't exist in the real world. You can't measure it. You can't prove it even exists. You can't prove that a square root of -1 exists. So this is worth repeating over and over again, because it's the simple truth of how to create free energy. It really is. You have to keep your real component of voltage down really low so it does not suppress this overreactance that self-loops and feeds itself. Now, it's very similar. Now I'll shut up. One more thing. It's very similar to blue-green algae that can manufacture its own protein if you give it nitrogen gas, you know, dissolved, you know, nitrates or nitrogen gas, you know, dissolved in the water. I think it's nitrates. It can make its own protein. You don't have to give it amino acids like plants have to, you know, it has to be given. No, plants are given nitrates. But blue-green is like, what is it? It's kind of like a plant, but kind of like a microorganism that Oh yeah, those microorganisms that lives in the nodules of legumes and converts nitrogen in the air into nitrates. Well, this is what blue-green algae can do if you starve it for protein and you starve it for, I think it's protein, or is it calories? I forget which one or all together, but you starve it, and so it makes its own protein from sunlight. And will actually, no, it'll store the energy from sunlight in the form of protein. But if you give it the full quantity of, what is it? I forget how you starve it. But if you, whatever it is, if you give it the full quantity, then it stores its energy in the form of fats. Oh, no, it's green algae that does that. I'm sorry, chlorella. Green algae, if you starve it for nitrates, it'll store the sunlight in the form of, oh God, which one was it? I think it's fats. Right, no, it's fats. If you starve it nitrates, it'll store sunlight as energy in the form of fat. Right, that because it gets the carbohydrates from, you know, sunlight, carbon dioxide gas, or whatever. Yeah, carbon dioxide gas. But if you give it a plethora, a huge amount of nitrates, then it stores the sunlight energy in the form of protein. And that's the way they grow chlorella, to be protein rich. So they give it plenty of nitrates. Anyway, so much for my example. But so this is what a free energy device does. It'll try to steal energy from nearby, but it won't steal energy. Excuse me. It'll try to steal reactants from, well, the grid, whatever's nearby. But whatever it can't get, it'll try to make up the difference on its own. Because it's all about creation of adequate amounts of reactants that can be converted into energy. And if it can't get enough, it'll try to get it from its nearby it'll try to get it from its nearby environment firstly. But if it can't get it from the environment, it'll try to make up the difference within itself. Because it can. That's the whole beauty of so-called proto-free energy, free proto-energy. In that, namely, this extreme form of electrical reactance in which current is inverted from voltage by 180 degrees, this kind of thing can happen.